ever beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Sunday, the 8th of February, 2015. I never thought we'd still get here. I say this almost every week. Like, wow, we're here, 2015. Yeah, man, it's the future. Yeah, in the future, we're all flying around in cars and the air is clean and oh, no, it's not. Hang on. Yeah, here we are. So here we are in 2015 and things must be getting worse before they can get better. That's the only thing we're going to have to say. So, my guest tonight, I'm very honored, very stoked to have. He's much more well known than I am. Without further introduction, actually, I'd just like to say he's been doing the work. He's been talking to people all throughout the secret world. He's done more interviews than I've had the ability to look at, but I love watching them. Incisive questions, great stuff. Alfred Lambron Weber, welcome to Ever Beyond and Wolf Spirit Radio. Well, welcome back, actually, because you've been here before when it was PIG Radio, Project Information Generation Ready.
No, I'm very, very happy to be here. And let the action begin.
Ding ding. So out of the stall there. So why are we here? Who got us into this mess? How do we get out of it? What you were posting, which is a much more concise way of putting it, is the positive timeline. And I mean, about 15 minutes ago, I mentioned it to our previous host. You know, I was producing the show before, and we were talking about this. We are definitely part of creating the new positive timeline because we're using our free will to create, and I think that's the purpose of it. So the positive line timeline and the transition. Alfred, how are you? How's the weather, first of all? How's the environment there? You're comfortable? You got a cup of tea? You're not sort of living out of a cardboard box anywhere or in dire straits? Or I hope not. Some of my guests have been like that.
No, things are good here. I'm looking out, and it's a typical Vancouver Sunday. We have dribs and drabs of rain. It's kind of temperate here, so things are fine, and we are looking forward to continuing to uncover the miracle of the shift to the holographic positive timeline, and to make publicly known the positive timeline, the positive future equation, which we have unearthed, which is positive future equals positive timeline plus unity consciousness. And that is an equation which has supplanted and overcome an outdated matrix elite formula that is no longer effective. And that matrix elite formula was problem plus reaction equals solution. And that was the equation that was used by the Matrix to attempt to govern us through manufactured realities. However, what occurred is that on December, on or about, because some people say it's on slightly different dates, but on or about December 21st, 2012, the previous catastrophic timeline, that is a timeline that was governed by what we call duality consciousness, which is I win, you lose, was supplanted by a new holographic timeline in the time-space hologram in which we incarnate as inside of our avatars. My avatar is Alfred, yours is JP, and all of those people who are listening are inside their particular avatars in this vast holographic virtual reality that we call our universe, which is one of a humongous number of universes inside the multiverse, which in turn is an entity inside the omniverse, which the omniverse is in essence the sum of all of the material universes of space, time, energy, and matter, plus the spiritual dimensions, including the afterlife, where the intelligent civilization of souls live, or are based, or located, in a non-local way, if that's not a contradiction in terms, and God or source is. And that altogether is the omniverse. And the spiritual dimensions together have the function of co-creating the universes in which we live as holographic realities. And the technology of the universes, or at least we can say of the particular universes that we inhabit, is of multiple timelines. So that's a technology that we're in. It's a very advanced virtual reality technology. It was designed for and maximizes soul development with moral lessons, and I think is a great form of entertainment, and is action-packed. And is the inspiration for all art, all feelings, all emotions that we experience. And what happened was that on December 21st, 2012, in essence, the video game card was changed from War, Disease, Crime, and Poverty, which is the name of the old timeline that we were on, and the name of the new timeline is Landing Paradise on Earth. So basically, any projects or individuals that are operating primarily in duality consciousness of I win, you lose, or that were conceived of under the old catastrophic timeline, like World War III, cannot find any traction under this new timeline. And that seems to be the reality that we're following. And the principal thing that's happening now is that you have 7 billion souls. There's a determined minority that is seeing their reality, which was anchored in duality consciousness, rapidly slipping away. So they're trying to keep everybody confused that we're still in war, disease, crime, and poverty. There's the bulk of the set of the 7 billion people that are really confused because they don't know if we're still in war, disease, crime, or poverty, or if we're moved into something else. So they're still hanging on to their TV dramas, you know, and don't know if it's war, peace, or heaven, or hell. And then there's the awakening community of souls that are figuring out the game, know that we're on the new timeline of landing heaven on earth, and are determined to awake even more and awaken our fellows so that nothing untoward happens. That, I think, is a fair summary of what's occurring in terms of the politics of time and space. Now, people who want to go more into depth in that, we've prepared a 27-page paper in Time Science on the positive timeline and the positive future equation of positive future equals positive timeline plus unity consciousness. And all you have to do is go to positivefuture.info, and that paper will be there. It's actually the first chapter of the current book that I'm working on, which hopefully will be out, and then it'll be sort of an operating manual of how to stay inside the positive future. It'll be like a navigation tool, because we're inside a dimensional ecology, and timelines are one of the ways of navigating the dimensional ecology that we're in, because we're in that part of the dimensional ecology where time and space are the ruling dimensions. People who want to know more about the dimensional ecology can go to my most recently published book called The Dimensional Ecology of the Omniverse. And you can get that, you can get it on Amazon. You can get that at omniversity.info. You can get that at dimensionalecology.com. You can get that at exopolitics.com. You can get that all over the internet. Just enter Omniverse or Dimensional Ecology, and you'll get right to it, and it'll bring you up to date on the leading edge research of that creature that we're of and part of called the Omniverse.
Great. The Omniverse. We speak to people. I have people on my show with all sorts of different perspectives. And the ones that I like, I really enjoy is the people who talk about hypnotic regression and timelines and life timelines, what do they call them, lineage timelines, personal timelines. And I've had a few dimensional experiences recently when I tried having regressions, and that ended up sort of being like a bit like a quantum leap, being the guy going in and kind of finding himself looking through these eyes, having to deal with this situation. And one wonders what happens when one cries for help in some place, and something comes to your rescue. Is that another you, part of the multiverse? And indeed, if you're talking about unity consciousness, of course it's another part of you. And then the question is, why did that happen? Are these relevant questions?
Right. Sure. In fact, a large part of the model especially the model of the afterlife, of the intelligent of the intelligent civilization of souls, a model of how the intelligent of what the nature of the afterlife, what we call the interlife, is, and how the intelligent civilization of souls, and the dimension of the spiritual, and how the spiritual dimension itself interacts with the universes of the multiverse that it creates, and how, quote, God or source, what the nature of God or source is, how souls are created. All of that knowledge, that database, which has been derived from the scientific method, comes to us from a research base of over 7,000 cases, of replicable cases of hypnotic regression to soul memories of the interlife. And this is using a standard protocol to bring people into hypnotic regression of not memories of prior incarnations, that is, prior lives inside an avatar, say, on planet Earth as a human in the 1800s, or a prior life on some other planet as a reptilian or as a human or whatever the life form happened to be on that particular planet, but rather soul memories of the interlife. What occurs between lives for a soul? And it's from those memories, which are from a standard protocol. And we know that the scientific method is that if you have a standard protocol and replicable results, then you have a court and you follow those, then that is what we call the scientific method. And then you're entitled to call that knowledge officially, because you followed the standard scientific method for gaining true knowledge. And that's the simple explanation for the scientific method that our entire scientific establishment, all the university systems, all the labs are run on. It's scientific protocol plus replicable results. And we've used the standard protocol of hypnotic regression to soul memories of the interlife and a database of over 7,000 cases to really be able to explore the afterlife, the nature of the interlife, that is, what it's like, what the dimension inside, what the dimension of where we spend time, where our deeper souls spend time between lives, is like. And what, quote, God is like, and what other spiritual beings are like, what other souls are like, how souls are created, where, what the typical life of a soul is, what souls do other than incarnate, because incarnation is just one part of the life of a soul. We actually are very, very much involved in the creation of the universes. And other than, you know, where we come into universes in order to be inside incarnations is part of one way that we come into universes, comma, and we also come into universes between lives in order to create, in order to add to the universe, to help in the creation of solar systems or galaxies in them, to help in the fine-tuning of life species on planets. We're virtual gods in the making. So this is a very broad brush way that we're involved as creators in the material creation that we create whole cloth known as the universes or the multiverse. We're also involved in kind of the maintenance of it. And we even tweak time and space to make sure that they're operating correctly. These are things that are just coming into consciousness here on this planet because we've been so isolated for so long because we're an afflicted planet. But the good news is that this is the age of the integration of science and spirituality. And so this is where science turns its focus on the afterlife, its focus on the soul. This is the methodology that's been used, that is of hypnotic regression. So your approach is actually very much on point.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good. Which begs about 20 other questions. Which one can I pull out that is... Because as you speak, you're very aware that each paragraph that you speak references an entire body of work that people can look up. You know, you give them the keywords there, and you can Google whatever Alfred's is saying, just to find out the scientific basis behind those things. So, all right, so here's the thing. There is something that is coming to an end or has come to an end and something else that is starting, okay? So there's this understanding. We have this kind of thing that we call known history. We also know that it was written by a group of people who don't have our best interests at heart and that everybody... who they found who has any other story was murdered, brutally usually. That's because it's not true what they've been telling us. So we've got this kind of thing that goes back to kind of, oh, there's the Egyptians, and then it kind of goes really vague and kind of melts into the dust of history. But in reality, and this is what I've been finding with all the guests and all the research that I've been doing, that our history actually is much huger than that, and that what's happened is that our planet is suffering from a form of terrestrial PTSD you could say there was a false memory syndrome group who are trying to inject a memory into us that isn't really what the real memory is, but is a kind of covering for the fact that they're there. We hear this, but actually it's basically somebody knocked us out and took advantage of us during that period and has a story for us that explains why everything is the way it is, but is not really true. So can you tell us a little bit about what was the... Because I'm presuming, Alfred, this is the thing, that you've been investigating this story as well, and, like you say, having a judge's mind, you've learned about how to be very precise in understanding what the story really is, what the quarantine and what the prison is really all about. Could you... are you able to cover that? Because that's my big question, and I was hoping somebody knows it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can give you... I can give you my best understanding. I've not written a book on it in the same way that I've written a book on the Omniverse, so I understand from a systems point of view and can back up all the primary components that have been able to identify in the dimensional ecology of the omniverse. Now, if we zoom down from the omniverse, and just to give you an idea of the size of the various components of the omniverse, this is not a diversion. This is to give you an idea of the scale of the things that we're talking about. Two scientists at Stanford have recently estimated the number of universes in the multiverse, and they say that the number is so large that the human mind can't comprehend that number. We can't, like, keep it in our minds. However, if we were to write that number out, to write it out, say, in 12-point type on a computer, that number would be more than 260 million miles long. That's how many universes there are in the multiverse. Okay, so I feel comfortable talking at that level because I've written about it in the dimensional ecology of the multiverse. I've also written about exopolitics in my book, Exopolitics, which founded the science of exopolitics, which is the science of relations among intelligent civilizations in the multiverse. So exopolitics describes the basic relations among intelligent civilizations in the multiverse, in all these universes. And although it's really more applicable to our particular universe than to all of the other humongous number of universes. And what you have asked is a question about our particular planet, okay? So I will tell you what I know that I'm fairly certain about from the research that I've done. But the research that I've done, about which I'm fairly certain, only scratches the surface. And all that we're doing is we have probable cause to ask questions about. We don't have definitive answers. And what I had proposed about questions like what you just asked is what I call the decade of contact, i.e. at least a 10-year period in which, instead of fighting wars, all of our public resources or substantial public resources are given over to research and to finding out the answers to this, finding out exactly what is our history and what we are, instead of giving over the money to the covert branches of government and to the shadow governments and to the hidden powers and to the covert dimensional extraterrestrial and interdimensional histories that interdimensional civilizations that want to keep us further quarantined, further separated, and further subjugated. My understanding is that somewhere between 500,000 and 1,000,000 years ago, there was a rebellion on our planet, and that rebellion was more at the dimensional level, having to do with the spiritual governance of the planet, not so much with what I would call the governmental structure in the 3D level. It had to do with the interdimensional governance of the planet as it relates to the spiritual dimensions. Those elements of the spiritual dimension, namely advanced spiritual beings and a whole infrastructure of the intelligent civilization of souls that are deployed in the dimensional ecology around our planet that ensures a kind of orderly orderly operation of the development of souls in the incarnational process. And that particular rebellion was led by one of the higher order spiritual beings that in fact was deployed as sort of regional governor of maybe 30 to 50 life-bearing planets in this segment of the galaxy. Historically, his name was Lucifer. And these names have come down in sort of archetype and in myth and in fragments in our religious texts, notably the Old Testament, the Garden of Eden, where the Lucifer story and Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden are really an allegory for the Lucifer rebellion, which led humanity astray and resulted on humanity being thrown out of the Garden of Eden, which is an allegory for our devolution and subsequent quarantining from the rest of the galaxy and the rest of the universe on certain spiritual circuits in order to contain that rebellion at upper dimensional divine levels, spiritual levels, from spreading. Although there were still, you know, some transits back and forth at 3D levels and at multiverse levels. So that's what made this planet, along with the other planets in the rebellion, that's why we've been quarantined, because it was an utter failure of leadership of divine, in the divine government of this planet. And that has been allowed to run its course. And there have been also secondary interventions in this planet from an exopolitical point of view, which do not so much have to do with a relation with the spiritual dimensions, but rather have to do with interventions from predatory extraterrestrial species that represent violations of laws of non-interference on this planet, which means that we're more, even more of a targeted planet. We're sort of the equivalent, if our planet was like an individual, we would be what's called a TI, a targeted individual. So we're a targeted planet. And those include the Anunnaki occupation, which started about 280,000 years ago, in which the Anunnaki violated the law of non-interference and came in and intervened in the Homo sapiens experiment, which had begun by a consortium of our local galactic governance council, namely the Alpha Centaurians, the Sirians, the Pleiadians, and others had developed Homo sapiens as a 12-strand light being in the third dimension, which is a very advanced invention. As we sit here speaking, we're, you know, at best 4 to 6 DNA strand, light beings in a third dimension, those of us who have been struggling to reactivate our DNA up from 2 to 3 to 4, you know, by...
I'm hanging really, by a thread, Alfred. I'm hanging by a thread, one strand.
So that's one of the interventions that occurred, and the Anunnaki really established all of the hierarchical and governmental structures. They were the cone heads. They had these long heads, and you may recall some of the photographs of the sculptures of, for example, the bust of Nefertiti, who had these they had these long hats which were to cover their conical heads, which held big grains, so that their IQs were typically 180 and above, as opposed to us small brain humans. And so all of the monarchical class and priestly caste ever since then have been Anunnaki wannabes, where they have their crowns and all the bishops' mitres and popes' mitres and archbishops' mitres. All these hats are Anunnaki wannabes because they're pale reflections of the caps that were used, the hats that were used to cover the large skulls, the long skulls, the cone heads of the ruling species of Anunnakis. And that's the kind of 280,000 year legacy that we have, because the Anunnakis dumbed down the DNA of Homo sapiens from 12 strand down to 2 strand using sound technology, and put us in a kind of a slave status state of consciousness by unlawfully interfering.
Right. Hang on a second, Alfred.
Yep.
So you're saying that there was a council of groups of Pleiadians, Sirians, Alpha Centaurians, who set up, this is more than several million years ago, who set up the Homo sapiens project. Now, the idea was that it was just going to be a quiet little backwater of a planet where nobody was going to disturb it, a little quiet little laboratory where things could grow in their own time. Yet people came. How many do you know what that original agreement was, what it was for, and exactly who was involved? Because this is one of the questions that we have, like, who are we, where do we come from, and do we actually all come from here?
Yeah, well, if we're looking at Homo sapiens, okay, Homo sapiens is our avatar. It's our species. The soul that inhabits any particular Homo sapiens, any particular avatar, that's a different question, because you can have souls that come from the starseed population. That is, starseeds come here on a whole different set of missions. Right now, there's a mission to help with the planetary liberation and planetary ascension away from the catastrophic timeline, away from the Lucifer rebellion, away from the Anunnaki occupation, away from the Draco reptilian and Orion Gray intervention into the solar system. And so that the starseeds that come here come from all over the universe, and they incarnate into human avatars. And so, you know, any particular human avatar can be a dragon. They can be Homo sapiens from the Pleiades. They can be any place. Or they can be beginner souls that are come here on a routine incarnation assembly line. You know, there's a whole there are all sort of system lines that and instruction lines that have to do with who gets to be and who gets to have a particular avatar and who gets to incarnate in their lessons at any particular time. So those are separate questions. That is, the development of Homo sapiens is a separate question from the mix of souls or of starseeds that are coming here at any one time. Now, the origins of the Homo sapiens project is that under normal circumstances, the upper dimensional ethical human planets of the local regional galactic governance council, namely the Pleiadians, the Alpha Centaurians, the Sirians, and others that were not affected by the Lucifer rebellion, are in charge of developing the life forms for the planet, including Homo sapiens. So they were developing a very advanced model of Homo sapiens as a 12th strand DNA light being in the third dimension that would be able to carry a very advanced ethical source-oriented soul in this planet at the time. Then came the interventions of the Lucifer rebellion, of the Anunnaki occupation, of Draco, of the Draco reptilian and Orion Gray attempted occupation. We are a very hardy group of souls here on planet Earth because we are having to survive probably at the top level of our design criteria in terms of onslaughts by negative influences who are attempting to capture our souls for the universal soul trade and thereby divert us from our primary incarnational missions here, which is to carry out regular soul development on a planet in accordance with the original design of the universe.
Which is the original design of the universe in terms of how a soul should normally be developing.
Yes, yes, right. We are in a zone of the universe, a zone of our, in fact, of our particular galaxy that's extremely afflicted because we suffered a rebellion of the universe against the universe governance here in this zone. We are on an extremely afflicted planet, which is Earth. On this planet, 2,000 years ago, there was a face-off between Lucifer, the leader of the planet, and a paradise son of God, who was a starseed, who was, in fact, a kind of a sub-god, who incarnated on the planet as a man, and who had a direct face-off with Lucifer for control of the planet, and that was Jesus. And since that time, that reconnected some of the spiritual circuits of this planet back up to universe governance, And in a way, he was the first. He sort of parachuted behind enemy lines, and he was the first shock troop, and we're the follow-up shock troops. Our starseed generation are sort of the follow-up. You know, our Indigos, Crystal Kids are the follow-up in terms of bringing this planet out of the lower realms, the lower vibratory realms that it's been, the quarantine that it's been from the universe connections into higher enough frequencies to have us reconnected back up into universe society, both at the material level and at the spiritual levels, so we'll be a full-fledged member of universe society at some point. That's an explanation of the larger exopolitical processes that are going on at this point, which the average awakener might be experiencing as, quote, ascension.
So, to me, the ascension issue is to not go anywhere, really, but connect all the different bits of the story. Connect all the different pieces of consciousness, you know, my dream consciousness, my waking consciousness, my working consciousness, that they have a continuity. Is this, is that what you mean by ascension? Because that would then bring every dimension into your now, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes. As that occurs at the individual level, there is also a corresponding occurrence at the collective and at the planetary level, such that then this planet can begin to be reconnected into universe circuits so that it can eventually at some point reassume its place, its position in universe society prior to its having been quarantined from universe society at the start of the Lucifer Rebellion. Right now, we're still disconnected, which is why we, essentially, the average Earthian doesn't have the foggiest that there is even life elsewhere in the planet, because we are disconnected from any universe circuits.
So, let me so go in on this, because, you know, I'm really into electrics, right? And you're speaking on electrical terms. So, in a way, rather than quarantine, we've been insulated, could say. And one of my theories is that we, the human being, is actually a being that runs on universal galactic energy, and that we don't really need to eat food. Food is like a backup energy source. And that the reason some people can live on air or prana is because they get back to that ability to convert electricity directly from the air, like Tesla was able to get electricity out of the air. Is that what we're talking about in terms of the 12-strand human?
Partially, yes. The 12-strand DNA humans, who also have a much more developed etheric body with more chakras. I mean, they're just more developed. Can engage in multidimensional perception, and can really perceive, say, the positive timeline in its full glory. And whereas we can only see through a glass darkly because we don't have the full equipment to be able to perceive the reality that we're in. People who are fully psychic, you know, more and more psychic, are people who have opened their minds and who have really opened themselves to these new possibilities, who have engaged in developing themselves, who have begun to research these things and participate in these things, have activated more strands of their DNA, have begun to activate more of their etheric body, can participate more in the multidimensional the multidimensional reality that they're in. And that is part of breaking the quarantine. It happens at the individual level as well as at the collective level. And so all of these things are going on simultaneously. Now, this isn't happening 100%. There will be people that will go into emotional reaction and just want to shut down out of fear, I'm sure.
There's a lot of push from the powers that be that we're now realizing, you know, whatever media it is, whether it's a newspaper, whether it's the radio, whether it's the television, they're all doing the same thing. They're all pushing fear, you know, there's selling fear. And what is it? I can't remember what it is that, you know, fear and blood sells newspapers. But I think people are getting, not wanting that anymore. I think.
Right.
And there are still people who are still really bent on doing what they're doing with such fervor that it might be hard for them to listen. That's always the problem, really. You know, you may have a bunch of people, you know, 90% of society, 95%, 98% of society might be very happy, but if you've got one person who's dissatisfied with their lot, then they can start trouble and make themselves a big voice. How does that work? All right. Okay, so how does it work on other planets? that's the good question. How do things get resolved on other planets? Is it, you know, obviously we don't invade countries and change their regimes, or do we? I mean, is what goes on here, right? Okay, so I've got a fair idea that, you know, as above, so below. So, you know, whatever we see on this planet, there's a kind of expression of that in the outer galaxy and beyond. That, you know, what we're seeing, what we see on Earth, you know, there'll be markets everywhere. There'll be government buildings. You know, there will be. Well, will there actually? Will there be government buildings? Will there be buildings? Are there the, you know, are there high rise buildings, or is that just the old empire? And what's, you know? So these are some of the questions. So, like, are we? This is the question that I'm trying to get to, Alfred. Which is, are we under a kind of banana republic government? A mafia, you know, stakeout. Are we even stronger? Are we in an embassy siege? Do you understand what I'm looking at on the larger scale? How are the people of Earth placed in terms of, like, what's the danger that is? You know, what's really got the gun to their heads? Is it mafia? Is it terrorists? What's the deal? I mean, do you understand the question that I'm getting to?
Sure.
How
sure.
are we? Yeah.
Yeah. My assessment at this point is that it's a delicate balance of cosmic interests, of exopolitical interests. We're kind of the Galapagos Islands of the local universe, of the local galaxy, and we're we're really weird because we have been quarantined for a long time. And there are many, many species that are visiting here. And there are entrenched interests. There are entrenched interests that are still on the side of the Luciferic, of the Luciferic rebellion. And they are the ones that back the powers that be. They back the matrix as we know it, the monarchies, you know, all of that structure that produces a planet whose main business is war, disease, crime, and poverty. That is, you come here to incarnate to see if you can get through war, disease, crime, and poverty. And the main payoff of the planet is loosh and suffering. That is, soul suffering is something that apparently the fourth dimensional reptilians and other negative ETs get off on, so they package it and sell it. And then there's a huge market, at least in our recent past, for the last century or more, there's a huge market in souls. And that's why we have these huge world wars, because they kill off people, those souls are stunned, they pick up the souls, and then the ETs come along and they sell them and they take them off to other planets where there's a scarcity of souls. So, and that breaks the normal reincarnation cycle, because the guys who sign up for wars are all these young souls who don't know better, that you're not supposed to go in wars, that you're supposed to do everything in your power to stay out of a war, and that what you're supposed to do in, if you incarnate in a planet like Earth, is to stay in unity consciousness, which is we are one. You're not supposed to side with duality consciousness, which is I win, you lose, because if you side with that, you're siding with the Lucifer rebellion, and you're keeping the quarantine on, and you're keeping the satanic powers, which are kept on, you know, by the monarchies, which sacrifice their children. There's an enormous networks on this planet which are devoted to pedophilia, to ritual child sacrifice, to child trafficking, because that all that blood sacrifice and soul sacrifice feeds these negative spiritual entities and feeds the negative entities of the Draco reptilians. If you go to, for example, the U.S. government, I would rather call them more properly the USA Corporation government, because the U.S. government ceased to exist in 1871 when they formed the District of Columbia as a city-state in conjoint with the City of London and the Vatican. the U.S. Corporation has underground bases with the reptilians, where they perform human sacrifice and drink blood and eat human flesh, and the U.S. government representatives participate in these sacrifices with the reptilians as a matter of comity, and that's how the U.S. maintains a lot of its power. And so all of these are exopolitical facts. So anybody who is participating in wars is just giving more and more power to this structure, to this hidden structure, which is an exopolitical structure, but which also has spiritual implications. And that's just a description of the nature of power on this planet. It just happens not to be described on your daily newspaper. You have to come to alternative exopolitical sources to find out about that. And so our job is to really inform more and more souls, individual humans, about this and to awaken them and say, look, this is a free will universe, and you have the choice to let go of supporting duality consciousness activities like pedophilia, human sacrifice, child sacrifice, and war. Wars are totally invented. War is an industrial activity like making shoes. And those who control war, the technology of war is to control both sides of the war. You know, you control both sides of the war. You make money off of both sides of the war. And the main byproduct of war is the souls of those who are killed. And for the illegal soul traffic and of the dead. So our job is really to stop now that we have a structural shift that at the level of the timeline in this holographic reality, the holographic timeline has shifted from catastrophic, from duality consciousness of I win, you lose, to unity consciousness, we are one, and that's all that it favors, then our job is to awaken people and say, hey, there's no need for war anymore. Just say no. Just shift over to the positive. And then we begin gradually to shift the consciousness on the planet to where humans are voluntarily withdrawing from this because it's a free will universe. And with that, all of those activities end. The only question is how long this is going to take.
Well, that is the thing. And, you know, everybody's been waiting for these dates. You know, I started tuning into this kind of stuff in about 2000. Every year is going to be near. It's near. It's soon enough. This is happening. It's happening. It's going to happen, you know. But when you zoom back, you know, you look at huge world political events. They don't happen overnight. They happen, you know, people plan these things for a long, long time before they happen. And if you're going to try and respond to it, you know, there's another planning stage as well. It's really more of a training stage because you never can plan what the powers that be are going to do. They're always going to pull something, and you've got to just figure out just what's their angle, what's the game. They always have a certain number of games, don't they? And there's like, which game is it that they're doing?
Yeah. I mean, I first became conscious of this in 1973. So I consider myself to be a member of the class of 1973. And coincidentally, 1973, according to some analysts, was the year that Nostradamus said was the beginning of the fight of good against evil. So that was the year that I woke up. And so I've been at this day and night, year after year, since 1973, you know, and I think it's a long distance marathon. So we're, you know, whether it's going to be 2017, 2025, whether it's going to be a century or two, well, this is a process. And so we're star seeds that have come here to aid in the raising of this planet. That's kind of the larger perspective.
That's right. And so, to that end, by the way, do you need a break? We've done an hour. If you'd like a break, I can put a tune on, and you can go and refresh your coffee or tea. Or would you like to do that?
Okay, sure.
Excellent. Okay, well, I'm going to put on, this is one of my favorite, I play it all the bloody time, but people, this is Peter Green. Do you remember Fleetwood Mac, the original Fleetwood Mac?
Peter, oh, yes.
After he left Fleetwood Mac, he made this track. He was doing blues. This is Big Change is Gonna Come. I love this. Okay, and welcome back to Ever Beyond. Today we have a very special guest, Alfred Lombremont Weber, from exopolitics.com, and you have several websites. Do you want to point people there? You've got books and stuff. So let's get people there. I've also invited some questions, and we've got one or two starting to come in. Do you want to give people your website, Alfred?
Sure. Our we have a new news agency, and it's at newsinsideout.com. Newsinsideout.com, and you can go there. And we have an exopolitics portal, which is exopolitics.com. And then we have a special website for the positive future equation, the positive future, and that's positivefuture.info.
Okay, so how about and your books? Are they available from which one of those would be, you know, people to read about your history and stuff?
Sure. If you go to exopolitics.com, there you'll see just at the top there are links to all of my books, and that'll take you straight to their links at Amazon, and it'll get you right to my books, you know, what they're about, what other readers are saying. We've tried to price our books so that if you're looking for the ebook version, they're about the cost of a latte at Starbucks.
There
so you
go.
Go to Starbucks and have your latte and read your book and get informed.
Much more stimulating than a latte, wouldn't you say? Better value than a mochaccino. Now, where were we? We were sort of talking about the way that the way that we've been given to look at the Earth in a very kind of tiny perspective, where there's a much larger. So we're essentially like under the rule of well, you see, here's the thing, you know, this Lucifer rebellion, right? Now, we've heard about this, and there's a lot of kind of, you know, people say, oh, well, this is a biblical matter, so it's, you know, it's something to do with the churches, and, you know, it's nothing to do with us, and all that rubbish. But, you know, we have to deal with this every day. What did Lucifer rebel against, and how does that show up in everyday reality? And how, just to complete it, you know, how are we dealing with it, and what is it transforming into?
Well, I would say that it shows up in everyday reality by the fact that we have the asteroid belt instead of a planet, by the fact that we have Mars as a denuded planet instead of a verdant planet like Earth, by the fact that on Earth we're on the brink of extinction, an ecocide of a planet that's whose only product is war, disease, crime, and poverty, instead of a paradise planet whose design it is, and that we're in the midst of the greatest species extinction in 200 million years. That's the proof of the Lucifer Rebellion. Because everything is totally out of whack. Mars was destroyed as its surface ecology was destroyed as the result of the Lucifer of imbalances brought about because of the Lucifer Rebellion. The planet that was once the asteroid belt was destroyed because of the imbalances brought about by the Lucifer Rebellion. So both of those are the result of kind of Star Wars planet destroyer type strikes. So I don't know what more proof you want. It's just that in our brainwashing, they take little Sue and little Johnny in the physics class and in the astronomical class, and they say, oh, and they just brainwash them to death so that they don't know that it was nuclear wars and Star Wars that created chaos in this solar system because we had a rebellion. You know, it's just like everybody's asleep, has been kept asleep by planet-killing technologies like HARP that broadcast directly into the limbic system of 7 billion people on the planet and put them thoroughly asleep, except when they want to give them all road rage, or they want to get them all up for a war, or they want them to stay home during elections, in which case they play with their emotional systems. So that's pretty direct evidence.
So that's the effect that it has on us.
Oh,
what was he rebelling against? This is what I'm always trying to get. He's like, oh, Lucifer rebelled. Okay. You know, what's the story? You know, it's because these are people, aren't they? This is a drama that acted out, and what was going
on? It's the eternal story of I am God. It's the free will. That is, am I going to implement the divine system in the planetary jurisdiction that I have? Or am I going to make myself kind of the demigod of this system? It's like, put it this way, it was told in a way in most every science fiction movie that we've seen, notably Star Wars. If you look at the Empire, that's the story of the Lucifer Rebellion. The Empire is the 3D manifestation of a segment of one universe that chose, you know, to go against life and to impose a regimented, non-life system, death-oriented system. And that's essentially what came out of the consciousness of a person who, you know, instead of trying to implement a life system, implemented a death system. And that is reflected in so many patterns here on Earth in governance by so many governments or individuals who seek to be authoritarian or totalitarian or dictatorial, or, you know, that is service to self versus service to others, which is what was the blueprint for soul incarnations, which is service to a collective creation, not dominance over a collective creation.
And service, as opposed to domination, is the whole... And it's really, it's very difficult for them both to exist in the same place, isn't it?
Well,
how do we create that perfect vinaigrette? You know, because like service to self is like acid, and service to others is like oil. You know, how do we blend that so that it creates what it creates, but it doesn't destroy what it creates?
So that's why this is such a challenging planet, is because we're still living in the aftermath of the Lucifer Rebellion, and we're still an afflicted planet, And the rebellion, the effects of the rebellion have not come to an end. However, we are awakened starseed souls that are here, and part of our purpose is to hasten the end of it and to begin to implant and bring about an era of light and life. Some people call it the millennium. Some people call it the golden age. That's our task, is to begin to establish that mindset and all of that here. Now, whether that will happen in 1,000 years, whether that will happen after 2025, I don't know how long this is going to continue. Certainly, I've ever since 1973, I've been working. We're really going to turn it over in 2000. This is going to happen in 2012. This is going to happen, and it's a process. And it's like trying to plow. Is it like trying to plow the ocean? Well, no, I don't think so, because now the big change agent for me is the positive timeline, because that's a structural change that I can point to and I can say, since then, all the false flags have failed and they can't get their stuff off the ground. All of the Luciferic forces, all the Luciferic monarchies, the Luciferic churches, Vatican, Church of England, they can't get their stuff off the ground anymore.
So we're withdrawing our support psychically, financially. People are stopping buying McDonald's and Monsanto products, and their stocks seem to be going down, or maybe they're just pulling out, who knows. But whatever their arms, do you feel, Alfred, that the tentacles of this particular kind of fungal growth in our dimension is retracting? Is it receding? Are the antibiotics working?
Yes, because I think that quantitatively and qualitatively, and people can go to the 27-page paper at positivefuture.info and read the data and judge for themselves. Projects that were conceived in duality consciousness of I win, you lose, and that ranges from World War III, that ranges from Ebola Gate, the great, the pandemics that were supposed to get off in 2014. We were able to expose them, and they just can't get them off the ground. And now we're already in February of 2015. We exposed last month that the positive timeline is actually transforming the predicted financial collapse, which is supposed to happen this month. It's not allowing it to happen, because what they had done was to design a financial collapse, which they had falsely masqueraded as a macroeconomic collapse, but which was actually intended as a depopulation false flag. They were going to deliberately crash the U.S. dollar, throwing billions of people into starvation.
That's right. We want the system to change, but we don't want the rug pulled from under our feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And people need to learn about what money is before the rug is pulled away, so they can understand what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And so the positive timeline is not letting that happen. We have a whole process coming in where Russia and China and India, South Africa, Brazil got together. They're the largest gold producers on the planet, Russia and China. We're moving away from a Federal Reserve fiat money, U.S. dollar, Rothschild based world into more of a gold standard based world, so that there's real value there. And so, but it's a gradual thing, and that's not a be all and end all. That's a transition, but at least you aren't gonna have thousands of people dying, billions of people dying on the surface because of a controlled demolition of the financial system to throw people into starvation, which had been planned. No, that's not happening, and that's structural, and that's because in 2012, the interdimensional portal at the core of our universe, just like in a galaxy, every galaxy has a singularity, which is its interdimensional portal, its entry way, its black hole. Every universe has a singularity, which is the way in and out of that universe into the multiverse, into the other universes. And the interdimensional portal of our universe began to broadcast waves of unity consciousness, and the whole game has changed. The holographic timeline has shifted. So, and there's a science behind that, and we reference what the science is, which is the science of the Mayan calendar. And the Mayan calendar is, in essence, a Pleiadian time map. So it's very sound time science.
So, okay, so you bring it up. Here's the thing. Right, there seems to be a division amongst Pleiadians. There seems to be good Pleiadians and there seems to be bad Pleiadians. Now, I know that the Pleiades is actually a massive star cluster. There's hundreds, you know, so probably everywhere's got its, you know, bad areas, let's say. And could you expand it? I mean, is there, and the other thing is, you know, our local star system, we are part of the Pleiadian system, aren't we, as in terms of stellar, stellar hierarchy, that our sun follows and schleps behind Atlas. No, not Aldebaran, hang on. Alcyone. Is that right?
Right, well, so what's your question? I'm not quite sure.
All right, okay, so first of all, the question is that we are in the Pleiadian system. From what I've gathered, that we, on this planet, our sun is part of the system that we call the Pleiades. Is that correct?
Well,
spatially?
Put it this way. I don't think that that's relevant to the point that you're making, because there are other views that our solar system is actually, and the Milky Way galaxy is actually part of another galaxy, and that our solar system is actually part of a small Sagittarius galaxy that is now entering the Milky Way, and that the Milky Way is actually a black hole. So that what we're doing is that we're actually going into a black hole now. And the reason why time is accelerating so much and is that we're going, preparing to enter through a black hole. And when we come out on the other side, that's where we'll be in this new time space of, you know, ascension. That's one of the theories. So there's other operating theories that we're not part of the Milky Way galaxy. So that kind of throws the Pleiadian question up. But I'll answer your question independent of that, of whether we're part of the Pleiadian star system, because jurisdictionally, from an exopolitical point of view, we are under the jurisdiction of the Regional Galactic Governance Council that includes the Pleiades, the Alpha Centaurians, and the Sirians. You know, because you, you can look at things from an astronomical point of view, or you can look at them from an exopolitical point of view, from a jurisdictional point of view. If you're looking at things historically and you want to say, well, what screw-ups did the Pleiades do? They made plenty of screw-ups in our solar system. If what UK town councillor Simon Park says is true, are you familiar with him, Simon Parks?
I watched that interview. I think I might have watched it twice. Fascinating. Probably one of my favorite Alfred Lombard Weber interviews, indeed, because you brought together two apparently dissimilar, but everybody knew, we all knew who was talking, didn't we?
Yeah. To me, I discovered a level of erudition there, which I haven't gotten a second source, but at the intuitive level, it really made me sit back, because it was consistent with what I've heard about Tiamat and, the other planets that have been destroyed in our immediate environment, our solar system and nearby, because of Star Wars that relate to the Lucifer Rebellion. And that is what Simon Park said, was that it was a Pleiadian strike, nuclear strike, that was supposed to be a surgical strike upon a Draco-Reptilian base. The Draco-Reptilians were attempting to occupy our solar system and make it a Draco-Reptilian solar system instead of a human solar system. And their nuclear first strike, their nuclear precision strike, quote end of quote, went wrong, and it resulted in destroying the surface ecology of Mars and making it a denuded planet, that Mars was a sister planet to Earth. And that, according to Simon Parks, you go to Mars and everybody is in a state of regret now. The Martian reptilians and the Martian insectoids at the poles, the mantids, are all regretful of their state of conflict. The Martian humans at the equator, because they're all in a state of war of who's going to dominate Mars. They are all regretful that because of their internal war on Mars, the planet was taken out by a Pleiadian nuclear strike gone wrong. And that's irreparable. Their home has been denuded. And the same thing could happen on Earth. Now, what Simon Park said is that the reason why we have so many Pleiadian starseeds incarnating on Earth is that the Pleiadians have taken on a tremendous karma because of what they did to Mars, so that there's a huge number of Pleiadian starseeds incarnating on Earth now to ensure that the nuclear denuding of Earth, which occurred to Mars, does not happen on this planet. So I think that that's directly relevant, and that is, super directly relevant. That is an eye-opener.
That really is, Alfred. And, okay, so something Simon didn't tell you, but you probably know. So we've been listening. Colleen and I, we and all the people on the stage, we've been listening. We have dissected that little interview there. Everybody's been watching. How long ago was this explosion?
He wouldn't say it on our program, and I'm I'm up in the air about that. So if you have an update on that, I'd love to hear it.
Well, look, it would be in Earth's history, wouldn't it? Somebody would have noticed that suddenly Mars has changed from like blue to red, you know?
Sure.
Or
sure.
Gray or black for a while.
Sure, because we actually have Earth poetry and Earth histories which predate the moon.
So we could figure this out. Now, I've got some questions coming in from the chat room. So I'm just going to... Wolf Baby has inundated with questions, but we've only got half an hour. So here's a question. This is one is completely from... anyway, does he have a take... Does Alfred have a take on the role of Metatron, who received the death curse, Pulsa Denura, from God, and is in charge of this system? Any ideas?
Well, I'm not sure with which Metatron is... being referred to here. There are many Metatron systems that I've run across. One Metatron system that I have run across is what they call dimensional cube, which is a way of navigating 3D reality using the mind of God. And Metatron was supposedly behind this, or was the name of the intelligence that developed that cube. So I'm not sure if that is the Metatron. I've seen Metatron in a lot of different contexts.
Okay, so thank you very much. And here's from Colleen, Bright Eyes in the chat, She Be Bright Eyes. What are Alfred's views of alien interview papers of Nurse Matilda McElroy? And I have found her accounts fascinating, talking about the old empire and stuff like that. What's your take? How close to they, or was it just a grey lying, as they're supposed to always do?
I confess ignorance. Let me just see. I'll just look it up right now on my Google and take a quick look at it.
It's known as the alien interview. Nurse McElroy was the telepathic translator that I believe it was the alien being, the ET being, the Star Brother. I don't want to be rude, you know, but the EBE, they call them, they spoke to through her. She was able to Errol, I think was the name of this being.
Okay,
are you familiar with that at all?
I'm looking at Nurse Matilda McElroy, DVD, Special Message to Mankind, Alien Interview. It looks like a 20-minute lecture before a live audience. Several of the favorite chapters of the book. I don't see anything that I can quickly read.
All right, no. Because basically it told...
Oh, here you go. Question. Do you have any special environmental needs, such as air temperature, atmospheric temperature? First answer, I'm not a biological being. So what role does Nurse McElroy have in this question and answer stuff?
She was the translator. And it was top secret until just before she died, when she basically published her copy that she'd made. Of course, she came home and typed it all up and kept it secret, because wouldn't you? She published it just before she died, and then it's been auto-read out. I think it's available. It's available on PDF. Fascinating stuff. Anyway, so it's not something that you're familiar with, Alfred. So let's not.
No. I'd like to make my preliminary views known, if that's possible.
Okay, sure.
Sure. I'm looking at it. Will your government and representatives send representatives to meet our leaders? Answer: no. What are your intentions concerning Earth? Answer: preserve, protect property of the domain. What have you learned about Earth governments and military installations? Answer: poor, small, destroy planet. Why haven't your people made your existence known to the people of Earth? Watch, observe, no contact. I got the impression that contact with people on Earth was not permitted, but I could not think of a word or idea that communicated the impression I got exactly. Question: have your people visited Earth previously? Answer: periodic, repeated observations. Question: how long have you known about Earth? Answer: long before humans. What do you know about the history of civilization on Earth? Small interest, attention, small time. Can you describe your home world to us? Place of civilization, culture, history, large planet, wealth, resource, always, order, power, knowledge, wisdom, 2 stars, 3 moons. What is the state of development of your civilization? Ancient, trillions of years, always, above all others, plan, schedule, progress, win, high goals, ideas. Hey, I want a vacation there.
So this creature was saying, basically, it was the only biological entity that survived, because the others were like, they were like, I think it was a she, but the body that they occupied were different grades. There was like a kind of domestic grade, very weak, and then there was a kind of industrial grade and a kind of military grade that was really toughened. And hers was the only military grade one that survived the crash of the UFO, and that's why they survived. But she gave this message and then left this body. You know, she said, "Oh, I'm done now. Bye." The creature just died, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if this is authentic, then it, which I have no, I can't judge because I haven't studied it, but hey, I wouldn't mind spending time there.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting stuff. So now we're looking at the timeline, right? So that's the old stuff. So we've now established that due to a series of cock-ups, as we call them in Britain, that we arrive here kind of slightly battered, rather bruised, hair not quite in place, but we're just about, you know, standing, waving a little bit, and ready to take on a reflux of energy that will at once transform us and unite us within ourselves and between each other, thus leading to the Golden Age and everybody's happy. But, you know, we think of everybody who seems to be suffering at the moment. What's going to happen to, like, places like Palestine and the darkest, you know, places of oppression? I mean, is that where we're going to see the effects start first of withdrawing? Are they going to just, like, stop shooting people and creating this loosh? I'm just bursting with them now. Are the interdimensional criminals who are harvesting loosh, are they going to be rounded up? Because is that illegal?
Okay, those are various excellent questions, and all we can do is speculate and try to make the most reasonable answers.
Well, I'll put my speculaticals and observe what comes up.
First of all, I think that we have to reframe your basic question, or reframe your basic reality, because the golden age is here. What has happened is that the entire infrastructure of our reality has changed. That is, we're inside a virtual reality. We're inside a video game. And the video game has changed to paradise on earth. The timeline that we're on, the holographic timeline that we're on, is called paradise on earth. And if all 7 billion beings on the planet had the ability to perceive and understand that, we'd be having paradise on earth right now. Because the formula is positive future equals positive timeline plus unity consciousness. Well, the positive timeline is here. That's a given from an infrastructure point of view. So what's the variable is unity consciousness. So the issue is, what is it going to take? It's like, when are the extraterrestrials going to land? The answer is when humans can perceive them, because they're all around us.
And the only way you can perceive someone is from unity consciousness, is that right? That it's kind of interlock.
Yeah.
And you can't have unity consciousness unless you're service to others.
Yeah. And, people try to use a rough analogy of the ships of the South Sea Islanders and the ships, that it was just that the shamans could see those ships first. Of course, it's a bad analogy, because the ships would destroy the South Sea Islanders' culture. And hopefully, at least, the ethical upper-dimensional interdimensional extraterrestrials that's why we have the law of non-interference, because you don't want to land on the deserted island and give them a transistor radio or a Walkman and destroy the culture. And that's kind of the dilemma that we have here. And that's why the Anunnaki impacted Homo sapiens when they broke the law of non-interference. And that's why the Draco Reptilians and Orion Greys broke the law of non-interference by entering into contracts for abductions with the U.S. government and with the Nazis. It's because you aren't supposed to do that stuff. Because it destroys the life that's going on there. The life that's going on there doesn't have the defenses, the immune system, to deal with that. And you notice here that this civilization, its impact was somewhat minimalized, because the transcript of this interview is coming out through a book, and it's kind of, cushioned. What we have here now is that we're in the golden age now. And so, when I founded Exopolitics Israel and Exopolitics Iran and Exopolitics Palestine, that's the essential message that I was trying to bring across. And, some people in Israel get it. There's no doubt about it. And some people in Palestine get it. There's no doubt about it. And some people in Iran get it. There's no doubt about it. As to whether the Matrix gets it, which is a planetary phenomenon, that is still trying to promote war, disease, crime, and poverty, well, there the positive timeline is working on that. Let's see how long the war machine can keep going versus us. Now, that's why I work indefatigably trying to put out as many articles and interviews as I can every day. I was on Iranian national television 2 days ago, you know, because they give me world access, so I take it.
Good for you, Albert. And,
yeah, you know, I mean, they're open-minded. I mean, no other country does that, right?
Well, this is the thing. I remember there was this article a few months ago saying Iranian TV says America is run by a government run by dark aliens from Zod. I don't know, but they somehow managed to take something like that, you know, quite deadpan, quite seriously.
So in the dimensional ecology that we have, each of us, when we awake, decides to take our whatever particular path it is and decides to do our work. And I've made up my mind now to get the word out of the positive timeline as strongly as I can and to just keep on pounding that away. So people, you know, just see that that's what the case is. It's here. All you have to do is wake up and see that you're in the golden age, structurally, scientifically, and that everything else is, you know, they're just trying to see if they can knock you off your game to get you involved in a war, to invest you in there. So that's what I do. It's very simple, day in and day out in multiple forms. And as many people as I can, you know, ask who want to join in this effort is great. You know, not through me, but just on their own spontaneously all over the world. There's a scientific discovery, and that is that most scientific discoveries happen at once all over the world, you know?
That's right. I have a thing. I say thoughts are things that have people.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's the 100th monkey syndrome. And that is that monkeys on islands all over the world will start washing their sweet potatoes, and hopefully humans all over the world will start wake up and saying, wait a minute, we're on the positive timeline. They've changed the video game. The video game is paradise on earth. It's not war, disease, crime, and poverty. These are just politicians trying to protect their budgets and their jobs. That's all.
That's right. I mean, it's a bit like when people get the PS4 and you can't use the components from the PS3 anymore, because that's the way it's built. And there's a whole new set of tools that we have to deal with the new paradigm and reality. And we don't need the old control interfaces that that were on the previous model.
Yeah, yeah. Because our lessons as a community of souls are different for this new chapter, for this new game, for this new collective period. It's as simple as that. And the game designers, the great cosmic game designers, have thus decreed an upgrade.
That's right. I wonder how much this one's going to cost us. Anyway, Alfred Lombard-Weather, it's been a real total delight. It's to have you back on the show. I hope that we're not going to spend another 4 years not speaking because it's been a real we loved it. Our chat room has been very lively and excited.
Thank you, Colleen.
Bright Eyes is saying, I hope that after Alfred has had a chance to review the alien interview McElroy thing, he comes back on with you, Jay, and gives us his take. So
I would love to.
Indeed. It was a very, very interesting book. It kind of put a lot of things into place, and it does sound like it's the same universe that you speak of.
Because
it's got to be. You know, if everybody's seeing a piece of truth, there's got to be, it's got to fit in. So, thank you so much. This has been Ever Beyond. Any last words for people who may be listening to the archive of this?
People will, this is not ad nauseum, but it is. Remember that we're on the positive timeline, and go to positivefuture.info and it will give you all the reasons why, and that's probably the single most valuable thing that I can impart, and the single most valuable discovery that you could make.
Well, Alfred is our new world prophet. No, he's a non-prophet. So this has been Ever Beyond. It's brilliant. Thank you very much. I looked forward to a very, very interesting 2015, 16, 17. As we deconstruct the old and build the new out of the bits, fit them all back together again. Good night, everybody. Good afternoon. God bless you all. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Beyond.